The liberty of the sons of God. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 12. The Bible reads, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Let's pray. Father, we come to thank you and praise you for an opportunity to gather and assemble and Lord in worship, clinging to the promise that where we would gather in your name, you'd meet with us. For Lord, wherever you are, there are miracles. Wherever you are, there's power. Lord, there is virtue. There's opportunity given. Lord, for only you can do the things that every soul needs today. And Father, we pray for someone that needs salvation, need to be born again. We pray for them today that their eyes be opened, they might know the voice of God, the conviction of the Spirit of the Lord, that he is calling them today to his Son, that they might be washed and cleansed and purified, made whole and given eternal life. And Father, we pray for every one of your children. Oh God, would you challenge us this day that we might know what this liberty is and how it should be expressed in this earthly life that you've called us to live. Bless us now and help us, Father, by the presence and power and liberty of the Spirit of God. We'll thank you, praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we've been preaching through 1 Peter, I remind you that we saw last time of what we are. The Bible here goes ahead and begins to reveal to us and teach us of what we are in Christ, what God has called us to. We've read of these great, wonderful principles that are given to us as God's people. And he said in verse 9 that we could show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And so as you and I consider that, we know that God has told us what we are, but now he tells us what we should do. How is it that we are to show forth his praises? I want to identify in verse number 16 the foundation for the message. Every one of these verses could be preached, but I want to call your attention to a theme we want to follow here. In verse 16, it says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. I want to hold on to and tag that reference as free, having liberty today. I believe an understanding of this concept of Christian liberty, of the freedom we have in Christ, will help us understand how I can show forth the praises of him. I believe that if we comprehend this liberty, it will help us understand this text. So I want to take a few moments and lay some foundation in our liberty. The Bible reads in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That there is a liberty given to us because we have called upon Christ to be our Savior. He has saved us and redeemed us. He has given us a new nature. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the miracle of salvation, has come now to live his life in us. And so we have been given a liberty. That liberty to be changed. The liberty to be new. The liberty to be what we could never be. to liberty to be as like unto Christ. That liberty is given to those who are saved, who are born again by the power of God, a liberty, listen, to be a new creature in Christ. Without Christ, you do not have that liberty. You do not have that power. For the Bible tells us of the bondage of this old nature, and the bondage of sin would not allow you, and reformation will not do it. It required a transformation. It required not something man could do. It was not man's virtue, not his sacrifices, not his religion, not his righteousness. Only God could give you that liberty through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so if you're saved today, God has liberated you. If you're still in bondage, listen, it is not because you have to be. You understand? God severed the chain that held you to the old sinful nature. That's been cut loose. You don't have to be that person. God has made it possible that you can be the new person that he has made for you. And so the Bible reminds us to put on that new man which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this also. By faith in Christ, we have come to know the Lord himself. The Bible reads in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You and I today have been given a liberty to know who God is. Do you realize what a liberty that is we've been given? I mean, with all the religions of the world, and all of the philosophies and religions and ideologies of men. Listen, we hear all of these things and we see all these practices. We see all the religion. But I am thankful I know who created heaven and earth and who gave me life and who it is that's in eternity and who it is that I'll stand before and who it is that gives life and death. Thank God I know him and he knows me. Now listen, what a liberty I have and you have in Christ. Not only do I know about him, but I know him in personal experience. For listen, the God who spoke the world into existence spoke to this young man when I was a boy. That same God spoke to me. And listen, when I have time of devotion and pray and seek his face and ask of the Lord, listen, God himself speaks to me. I hear that still small voice in the depth of my soul as God leads me, not in an audible voice through a dream or a vision, but God communicates in my spirit. And listen, I am aware of his presence. I'm aware that he's with me. He knows me. He knows my need. He heard my prayers. Listen, he feeds me and helps me and strengthens me and encourages me and corrects me. I listen by that still small voice. I'm glad I know the Lord. Now listen, that's a liberty God give you. The Bible also says that we have the liberty because the Spirit of God has been sealed in us until the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank God that no longer am I just driven by the will of the flesh, the desires of the natural life, the desires of the body. But God in salvation put his Spirit in you, and that Spirit that generates life in you, listen, motivates you in a new course, in a new direction, in a new way. It's the way of the Lord. It's the good way. It's the right way. And there's a Spirit inside of me that keeps leading me and directing me and motivating me to walk in the good way. And thank God what a liberty I have and you have today. I am glad for the Holy Spirit of God, because if you'd listened to the flesh, you'd still been in bed now. But thank God there was a Spirit that urged you that you ought to do what's right. You ought to do what's good. You know you need to be there. You need to worship God. You need to give thanks to Jesus Christ. You need to come and pray and praise him. And you need to learn more about him. You need to come and just enjoy a time of worship and fellowship with God. And the Spirit of God leads us and guides us, listen, to walk the right way. That's a liberty you've been given. The world doesn't have it. The world doesn't have it. The world sees Christianity as an obligation, a bunch of rules and restrictions. But the Christian soon discovers, listen, it's not that at all, but it's a liberty God has given us to enjoy the things that we should do and should be. That's the Spirit of God in us. What a liberty we have. Now listen, we also find out that we are born again by the Word of God, and it's through that Word we discover the truth. The Bible says, if ye continue my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm glad, as I mentioned already, I do not walk in darkness. I am not blind. I see a lot of things about life. I see things about this world. I know some things, listen, that God is going to do. I understand and read what's going to happen in the latter days. I know that my Savior shall come and receive His people unto Himself. I know that He will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm thankful today that God has liberated me and given me the freedom to know who He is and what He has done and what He will do, so that I walk in constant light. I walk in preparation. I walk in the counsels of the Lord. And that is a liberty that God has given to us. And so, you and I, we are liberated in Him. Galatians 5:1 reminds us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so, the Bible says here, here's the picture. Here's why the believer is able to show forth His praises, because we've been given a liberty. We've been given a freedom to be the sons of God. A freedom to live as God would have us live. That liberty's been granted to us. Now notice here in our text that this liberty, first of all, will be manifest in our conversation. Look at verse 12. The liberty in our conversation. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Honesty. God has liberated you to be an honest person. God has liberated you, listen, to live according to truth. God gave you that liberty. Now, why do people not walk in honesty? Well, obviously, they seek an advantage. They seek an opportunity. Now listen, they seek and use the works of the flesh because they're motivated by self-preservation. Sometimes it seems like dishonesty is the best choice, but those are the works of the flesh. They are manifest in this world. That men realize and men think in their natural mind that sometimes the truth will cost me. It may cost me some prosperity. It may cost me some pleasure. And so the works of the flesh will use dishonesty. They will use lies. They will use deceit to gain advantage. But you know what God has done? God has liberated us. Because it says here in our scripture in verse number 10 that we are a people of God. That is, listen, that I have a relationship with God. That I am on good terms with God Himself. And matter of fact, God is my Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, my Lord, my King, my Savior, and the Shepherd of my soul. You know what? God has enabled us to walk in liberty because I am loved by God. Do you love your own? Do you love your family? Do you love your children? Oh, listen, your love is nothing like the love of God. Aren't you thankful for family? Sure you are. Why? Because you can depend on them. Because they'll be there. Because even if you mess up, they're going to love you anyhow. And listen, don't you rejoice in unconditional love? Oh, absolutely. Just going to love you anyway. I want to tell you something. We are the people of God. And you know what? I walk in love. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. Doesn't mean you earn it. It means a step in the fact that you are loved by God. Don't stand in the shadows like nobody cares. Don't get under the juniper tree and think, listen, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. Now listen, step in the light. God loves you. God loves you. Listen, we have a liberty today to be honest and to walk in truth. Why? Because I don't need the works of the flesh in order to gain advantage. I have God who loves me and protects me, who has saved me, who will always provide for me and give me the grace I need. And whatever else I come to Him for, God will bless me and God will guide me and God will lead me. I am blessed. I walk with God. I don't have to use the world's tactics. I don't have to lie to get by. I don't have to cheat to get what I need. I don't have to steal. I can live honestly because God is my Savior and my friend and my shepherd. I don't need it. I've been liberated to live right, knowing I'll be taken care of. And if truth costs me, God will reward me something greater. Amen. That's the promise of God. You live for me and you'll be blessed. And listen, it may come to you consequentially that, hey, if I walk in truth, it's going to cost me. Hey, listen, I'm backed and supported by God. And one thing He delights in is when you're willing to stand for Him, make a sacrifice for truth, and He'll bless you. He said, anybody gives up house and land for my sake shall be restored 100-fold. God will bless you when you do what's right. And listen, what an incentive I have for walking in truth is that God will bless me because I did it. And God will take care of me because I did it. I am blessed and liberated to walk in honesty. And so listen, what liberty. And listen, this is how we show forth His praises. We are people of God. How we walk in honesty in our conversation. Number two, how do I show forth His praises? We walk in our civility. That is civil obedience, being the right citizens. Look what He says. He tells us, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I don't do it for them. I don't do it because I always have respect for them. Some of them I don't respect. I respect the office. I listen, but I don't respect the principles and things that have come out of those offices. But you know why I do it? I do it for the Lord's sake. I don't do it because they're worthy. I listen, I do it for Jesus' sake. You see, we have submitted ourselves to the authority of God. And in doing so, we are surrendered to His word. We are subjects of the King of glory, and we live for Him. We live for the Lord's sake. And listen, we do not need the fear of retribution as our motive for civil obedience. I don't have to have, someone watching me every minute to make sure I do something right. I already have someone who does that. That's my Father in heaven. I live for Him. If there wasn't even a law written, and it's right, my Father is going to compel me to do it. Amen? Amen. I'm going to live accordingly. Listen, when God, matter of fact, there are some laws in the books today that are contrary to the laws of God. Understand that. And we're going to obey God first. But listen, when those laws do not violate the laws of God, I am going to become a good citizen. I'm going to subject myself to those laws, and I don't have to live in fear that I'm going to be punished or that I'm going to be caught, that I'm going to jail in order to live right. That's already been taken care of in my heart because I bowed my knee unto the authority of God. I have chosen to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has broken me from the rule of self-life. The Bible says, for the Christian, as Paul put it, for me to live is Christ. The Bible says, our life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. I am free to live for Him and not for myself. You realize what liberty God has given you? What liberty God has given you? You see, we have a higher law written in our hearts. Our obedience to what's good and right comes not from man's law, comes from God's law. And you know what God did? God wrote it in my heart so that it's not an obligation. It's not, listen, a sense of restriction. It's something that I agree with and I'll do as long as it's right and good. God put that in us. God put that in us. And so, listen, we don't use the cover of darkness. Listen, to do our misdeeds. No, because I walk in the light of God's knowledge every day. And I want to please Him first and foremost. Listen, how do we show forth the praises of Him? We see it, first of all, in our conversation. We see it in our civility. We are obedient unto the powers that be. Because we're already bowed ourselves under the authority of God. And listen, already God has written what is right and good on our hearts. We do it out of desire, not out of compliance. We do it because God has changed us and not because of fear of retribution. We want to do it. We want to live right as a testimony to Him for the Lord's sake. Then thirdly, we show forth His praises in our Christian service. Look what He says here, verse number 16. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of malicious, but as the servants of God. Now notice here, the Lord is showing us a paradox that the world will never understand. It might help a lot of Christians to understand it. Look what He says here. He draws two things that seem to be completely contradictory. He said, as free, not using your liberty, but as servants. Did you see that? The last thing the natural man, the world thinks of is how can you have liberty and be a servant, and those two things mesh together. That seems totally foreign and contrary to the natural mind, to the worldly mind. And therefore, listen, that's how we have many who have a great objection to Christianity because all they see it, is subjection, restrictions, rules, regulations. They don't get it. Listen, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural mind. And it's foolishness to him. It makes no sense. The last thing I want, is servitude. But as you and I come to understand of the liberty we have in Christ, we are liberated in Christ to serve. We are free from the rule of the bondage of sin. We are free from having self be on the throne. Now we have bowed ourselves to Christ. We have chosen to live for Him. Why? Because of all He has done and promised to us. We have come to Christ. I'm taking myself off the throne and asking Christ now to be enshrined in the throne of my heart to be my Savior. You know what I confessed to God years ago? I confessed I needed a Savior. You know what that meant? I can't do it. And if I'm left to do it, I will destroy it. I need a Savior. Why? Because I will not do the right things. I must have Him to not only wash my sin, but I have to have Him and His Spirit to enable me to do right things, to choose things that are good for the soul, things that will honor and bless His name. I have to have a Savior. I ask Jesus Christ to be mine. Therefore, I know better than living for myself. I did that before I got saved. Amen? Y'all help me. I did that before I got saved, right? You know what a disaster that was? That's why I called and said, Jesus, have mercy upon me and save me. Because I knew where the self-life would take me. And I discovered when somebody preached the gospel to me, I found out the self-life would take me straight to hell. And so I asked Jesus Christ to save me. And so He has delivered us. He's liberated us from living the self-life. You know what that means for the Christian? No longer it's not about me, it's about Him. Before it was all about who? About me. We had an I problem. I this, I that, I the other. It's all about you. And so He has delivered us from the rule of self. Before I got saved, before I trusted Christ, before I called upon Him, listen, it was all about self-preservation. It was about self-praise. It was about self-indulgence. It was about being self-sufficient. It was about being self-dominant. It was all about myself. It was all self-worship. But when I came to Christ, He broke that bondage and liberated me that I don't have to live for myself, but now I can live for Him. You know what that does? That frees me up so that I can become a servant. Before I got saved, you know what I wanted you to be? My slave, my servant, my stepping stone, my tool, my merchandise, whatever I wanted you to be for my benefit. Listen, that's how I established a relationship. And so, listen, we saw other people as tools and opportunities. Because primarily when push comes to shove, we live for ourselves. Not that we didn't have a natural love for people, but our natural love is corrupted by self-love. And sometimes the people you love, you mistreated. Huh? Come on. Help me. Sometimes the people we love, we mistreated. And we used them. And we abused them. We didn't appreciate them. Sometimes we were selfish, took advantage. Sometimes we made decisions that didn't benefit them but us. And so even though you loved them, it was still about self. Still about self. Listen, y'all act like this ain't true. I'm telling your story and I'm telling mine. It's all about self. But you know what Christ did? Christ broke that bondage. And now I don't have to live for self. You know why? Because I don't have to worry about self-preservation. I have a Savior who's given me eternal life. I don't have to worry about, listen, Jesus told us not to be careful about these things. About what kind of food you're going to eat and clothes on your back and roof over your head. He said, the Gentiles worry about those things. That's not true for the servants of God. We are blessed. We're provided. We have a shepherd. We have a heavenly Father. Listen, who meets our need. And so, listen, He has freed us. That freedom, look what He said. As we use that freedom, we use that liberty as the servants of God. I am free to serve. I'm free to serve God. I'm free to serve you. Why? Because all the time it took for me to serve myself is gone now, and I don't have to do it anymore. And so now my time has been freed up. I hope someday y'all get that. My time's been freed up. I spent 90% of it serving me. God broke that. I don't have to do that anymore. So guess what? I got a lot more time on my hands than I used to have. Huh? And so now I can serve Christ. Now I can serve my brother and sister in the Lord. Now I can minister to the world. Why? Because all that effort and all that time and all that energy that I put into serving myself. Listen, I laid that at the cross and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and that I would live for Him. And He's freed up all that time I used to spend in my own preservation and my own promotion and my own desire and my own indulgence and my own pleasure. I've laid it all at the cross and now I've got a whole lot more time I can spend in serving others. And so He has liberated us now. You know what? You just don't have to worry about it anymore. He'll take care of it. The Lord will take care of it. What you need, the Lord will take care of it. Let's spend some time for Him. The Bible says this. Boy, this touches. Listen carefully to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. In other words, could I paraphrase that? Quit worrying about it. Don't look at that as a burden. He said, listen, the position you're in right now is being a servant. Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. He said, listen, being a servant doesn't stop you from bringing honor and glory to God. He said, use it. You say, preacher, I'm the low man on the totem pole. Then use it. Use it. It doesn't stop you from serving God. It doesn't stop you from praying. It doesn't stop you receiving the great rewards of heaven. It doesn't stop you, listen, from hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't stop you from getting all the crowns that God has promised you. It doesn't stop you from the mansions of glory. And He said, listen, don't worry about it, but use it rather, He says. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Did you get that? For he that is called in the Lord, that is a saved person. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Listen, that is what this liberty is. It's a liberty to please and honor and glorify God. It is a liberty to show forth His praises. He said, use this liberty you've been given as a servant. And then notice the last one. And that is our conscience toward God. Our conscience toward God. He said, verse 19, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it if ye be buffeted for your faults, and ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Notice he says here that we have been given a liberty And notice this liberty. He relates it to us as a conscience toward God. What is he talking about, preacher? He's talking about this. The discernment that the wrongs that we have been inflicted with are according to the purposes of God for his glory. A conscience is that ability to discern right and wrong. And what he's stating here is that, listen, in the will of God, we're going to go through some things that we're not going to like. But God has given us a liberty in knowing that if our Heavenly Father has permitted it, it is designed for his glory and for our benefit. Therefore, I've been given a liberty from having a bitter spirit and a bad attitude. I didn't get a grunt out of that. We must have touched on something right there. Oh my. We, God's people, have been given a liberty from that bitter spirit and a bad attitude about our situation. You have the promise of God, listen, that he superintends the affairs of your life. Christians don't live by accident, they live on purpose. And God promised you that in Romans 8:28. Right? That he'd work that for good according to his purpose. I may not like it, may not feel good, but here, listen, I will come and meet with God and surrender myself to him and call upon him and ask of him to lead me and guide me and give me grace. He gives us the liberty to transform it so that I can use it rather than it using me, that I can overcome it rather than it overcoming me, that I can have victory over it because it has a purpose in the will of God for his glory. And listen, he said, listen, there's no virtue when you take it patiently, when you get what you deserve. He said, no virtue in that. He said, the virtue is when you have to endure things you know that you didn't deserve, but you are persecuted, mistreated, falsely accused. And listen, when you go through that, he said, if you take that patiently, listen, that brings a virtue and reward in the sight of God. God has liberated. You realize what liberty you have in Christ today? The liberty to be joyous, the liberty to worship and praise, the liberty of effective service unto him. What liberty God has given. The liberty, listen, to be a good citizen, the liberty to walk in truth and honesty, irregardless of whatever threat or risk it may seem to throw at you. You don't care. You don't need it. I have God. And so you walk in truth. Listen, that liberty that you can be a good citizen of the country, that liberty God has given you that you might have opportunity to serve him and serve others, and then the opportunity to transform whatever comes into your life, the hardship, transform it, get victory over it, and know that God has a purpose in it, and therefore, listen, God, help me to patiently wait upon you and rely upon your strength and your grace to overcome, and God, help me to continue living for Christ, exalting him with joy in my heart, peace in my soul, listen, with the gospel upon my lips. God, help me that I can be an overcomer and show forth the praises of him who have taken me from darkness and put me in the light, that I could show forth how excellent is this salvation of God and how precious is my Savior. You see, when you take it patiently with a good spirit, it confirms that Jesus Christ is the truth. It confirms that his grace is sufficient. It confirms that his glory and virtue must be praised. It confirms that his salvation is real. When you take it patiently, listen, it tells your neighbors, your family, your friend, that boy, it must be true for what they put up with for being a Christian. It must be true. When you endure hardship, persecution, and go through things, it is a confirmation that what you have testified is true. Do you realize today that when you go through things and yet people look and say, you know what? They continue to live for Jesus and just continue to praise him. You know what? It confirms the fact that the grace of God is your sufficiency.
It confirms, listen, that surely he must be worth it. Why would people endure such things? Why would they suffer such things when all they got to do is just turn their back and deny him and walk away? Listen, then all their troubles will be gone. Listen, it confirms that his salvation is real and that he's worth it, that he is truly a treasure, and that he is precious to those of us who believe. And so it confirms also that his salvation is real. We didn't read much of that next text, but read it if you would. From verse 21, Christ left us an example we should follow in his own footsteps. It confirms the fact that indeed you are a real Christian. A real Christian is a follower of Christ. And we simply walk as he walked in this world. Do you realize the liberty you have today in Christ? No wonder he says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The chain's been broke. If you're not moving forward and advancing, it's not because you can. It's because you won't. For God's made it possible. The sinner can't. The Christian can. The sinner doesn't want to. And if the Christian's not making progress, it's because he doesn't want to. God has enabled you and set you free and given you a liberty to live for him. Would you bow your heads?